other people have seniors' moments. But I guess we don't have to be too old to have those. They float in and float out. Well, I am just delighted to be with you this morning. I'm very fond of Concordia and I feel so much at home here and have been associated with you all for many, many years. And in fact, I used to have a prayer meeting when I lived in Sorrento for 12 years, and we used to pray for all the churches in our area, and we used to pray up a storm for the Lutherans. And so when we got associated with the Lutheran Church, it was like coming home and seeing the fulfilment of our prayers. So today is Pentecost Sunday. How exciting is that? So, of course, I'm going to speak on the Holy Spirit. You can't speak about faith on Pentecost Sunday, can you? But it is my favourite subject, so I'm very happy to be here. I just want to tell you a funny incident that will launch into what I want to say today. Some group of us have built a school in Kenya. And it's one of the joys of my life. In fact, it's a passion of my life. And we went over to Kenya to officially open the school in November. It had been running for many, many years. It was an old tin building, and then it got dilapidated and rusted out. And then we built a beautiful big two-storey brick building, which is the historical building in the town. And all the children, as it had been being built, there were 260 of them in the ground floor while they built the top floor. No safety restrictions there, so in fact they forgot to even put the balcony balustrade on, thinking they'd finished it until one of the children nearly fell over. So but anyway, we went there and I stayed with my friend Pastor George and his wife and six children and many strays. And when we were bouncing along their very rocky road, going up to his place, he goes, "Oh, we are so excited because we've now got electricity." Oh my gosh, because last time we'd been there, we were generator, diesel fumes coming through the lounge room. 9 o'clock, the petrol ran out. We all went to bed with our candles. So I went, "Oh, George, it's fabulous. You know, electricity, that's a whole upgrade." So he said, "Yes." And then my daughter got married, and as the dowry, we were given a fridge. Oh my gosh. I went, "Oh, well, you have come into the 21st century, you know, definitely." So we get there, and in the lounge room where you eat and everything happens in their little lounge room, there was the fridge, grey, beautiful, shiny, and the little girl that helped in the kitchen, she kept bringing in all the tomatoes and the vegetables, and then they'd come out and everything just seemed to be room temperature, really. I thought, "Oh, well, at least it's going in the fridge, you know." Preserving it a little bit longer. And then one day I just thought, there's nothing cold in this place. And the men that I'd taken over to build, to help build some buildings over there, he kept saying, "Oh, I just love ice cream," when they came back from this very hot, dusty job that they've been doing. I thought, there's no sign of ice cream here. So I had checked whether it was plugged in. Yes, it was. Little red light on. Fridge must be on. I opened the door, nothing. So I got down on my knees, looked in, and you know the little on-off button that you have? I flicked it. Lights went on. Fridge went into action. And I said to Gladys, George's wife, "Gladys, you didn't have the fridge on." She goes, "Oh, it was plugged in." I said, "Yes, but it wasn't switched on." So I said, "How long have you had it, sweetheart?" She goes, "Oh, 1 year." And all this food had been going in and out, thinking it was all cold. And we can laugh about that. I mean, we just went hysterical. It was just so funny. But she said we'd never had a fridge before. We didn't know. We thought it got plugged in. It was on. But why do we laugh, really? Because that's sometimes typical of us. We are plugged into Jesus. We get born again, or we come to a faith in him and we get plugged in, but we never really get switched on. And so to really accomplish anything that we're designed to do or to be is to live a powerful, vibrant, victorious life in Christ. And it doesn't happen sometimes because we haven't switched on the power of the Holy Spirit. And so there's lots of things about the power of God. But in the natural, there is power, a political power. We've seen that politicians come and go. They fall sometimes. There's military power, that we've seen wars, and eventually there'll be somebody that will come and meet their match and they'll get replaced. And then there's economic power, that you're riding high on the stock market and then there is a big crash and the power goes down. So where can we find a rock-solid, secure source of power in our lives? Jesus said on the day of Pentecost, and isn't it amazing that almost 2,000 years ago, the Holy Spirit visited his disciples, and he had told them to wait, just wait. Don't do anything, because really, you're not going to be able to do anything until you get the power of the Holy Spirit. So wait. So they waited, and they waited. He said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. So I would say that the Holy Spirit, the invitation, is there for us still 2,000 years later. We need the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. The church needs the power of the Holy Spirit in its life. And so it was the promise of the Father. In Ezekiel, he says, I will give you a new heart. And we get a new heart when we come to Jesus. He doesn't just build along the old one. He gives us a brand new heart. And he also said, and I will put a new spirit within you. And so that was the promise, that we had access to the promise. And they had waited for hundreds and hundreds of years waiting for this spirit to come. Because in the Old Testament, the spirit came upon them. But now he was going to place it in them. What a difference that makes in our lives. And so just like the fridge, it had been there for a year, plugged in, and the potential was there to have cold food. But there was one thing, it had to be switched on. And just like a lamp that we plug into the wall, we can have it plugged in. But unless we switch on that lamp, there is no light. And so it's a good illustration, really, of being baptized in the Holy Spirit. So when we were born again, we came out of darkness into light. The old man died, and a new man was created within us. Old things passed away and everything became brand new. Did you experience that? I know I did. I went like from black and white to Technicolor. Everything I had loved before I now didn't like, and I just couldn't wait to get into God and to go to every meeting I could find. And so it was a transition, a tremendous transformation. But we have to get plugged into the source of the Holy Spirit. And so Jesus is still King of Kings, Lord of Lords. The power is his. And then he said, all power is mine. As he was going, one of the last things he said, all power is mine in heaven and on earth. And now, go, therefore, into the whole world and make disciples. He will give us and enable us with the power of the Spirit of God. Jesus could never go into any ministry, did you notice, until the dove came upon him, the representing the Holy Spirit. He had been hidden for 30 years, waiting to be manifested. But even Jesus himself could not go out and do anything until the Holy Spirit had come upon him without measure. And so, just the same as the disciples had been walking in the light and they had already experienced the new birth and seen miracles and seen everything, the new birth of the disciples or the apostles, when they were waiting, hiding for fear, locked away for fear of the Jews, it says, Jesus just walks through the door, through the walls, and then he says, he breathes upon them and he says, receive you the Holy Spirit. That in our experience is being born again. When he breathed upon them, when he breathed upon our dead spirit and he made it alive. So if that was the only experience we needed, well, he wouldn't have said, wait, because there's more. Don't you love those commercials when you can't sleep at night and they're painting and they're doing all these things on TV and they go, and there's more. Well, I want to tell you this morning that there's more, because there's more to being born again. There's more in God. In fact, it's a never-ending journey of being filled and filled and being refilled, but we need to be baptized in him. And so the apostles, they had walked with him, and he was shining, his light shined on them, but now he was going to want to let the light shine from them. He was sending them to Jerusalem. And he said, and when that power comes, you will be turned on. And they did. It was amazing how they could turn and become from fearful people locked away to the boldness that they had in God. And so today, some of us might be a bit more hungrier than others, but all of us need to go deeper. And I'm excited about this conference called Deeper, because that's what God's talking about. Come on, come into the river. You know, there's that scripture that says they stand on the banks and got light looking in. We can look into the river. Or perhaps I'm talking about the Holy Spirit, but we can look into the blessings of being filled with the Spirit. We can come in with ankle deep and just have a little taste and then go, oh, I don't think it's for me, no. Or we can plunge right in and be carried along in a journey that you cannot even imagine what it is like. So either this morning you're going to be switched on here, or you can go home and read Acts 2 and get switched on at home. But you all need to be switched on. I need to be switched on constantly. It's like one of those touch lamps, you know, that you can touch the lamp. It's plugged in, but you have to touch it, and then that light switch, that light goes on. So where some of us need to be touched by the Spirit of God today. He's here to touch us. When two or three agree as touching anything, it says in the Word of God, we shall receive it. And so sometimes the touch of God comes through a man or a woman or a child, but we are touched, something touches us. Jesus was walking along and the little woman with the issue of blood touched him. We can touch God and that same healing power will come and be drawn from him. He said, who touched me? And the apostle said, how does he say who touched me? There's a greatest crowd around, they're all touching you. But there was one that really touched him. And my desire is that he can touch us and touch us continually. And so we have celebrated in the Christian church Easter. We all celebrate that, even though it's gone down the bunny rabbit track. We celebrate Christmas. But there is this feast that we celebrate today called Pentecost. And it's the same feast that 50 days after Easter that came as they celebrated and waited for him. And the Spirit of God came, the promise of the Father. You see, God is so faithful. If he's given you a promise, you hold on to that. If he has promised you, your children shall be saved. In the Word it says, and all your children shall know you, and great shall be the peace of your children. Hold on to that. The promise of the Father was way back in Ezekiel. It didn't really come until hundreds and hundreds of years, but God was faithful to his word. And so what the marketing strategists have done, wonderful things marketing the Easter and Christmas, but they could never commercialize Pentecost. What do you do with it? All in an upper room, huddled together for fear. They were the same weak, old, puzzled disciples that they'd always been. And Jesus, even walking with him, hadn't changed them very much. They were still squabbling amongst themselves. But there they were, afraid as ever. And don't you love the suddenlies? And suddenly, they'd been waiting for 10 days. In fact, they'd been waiting for a long time, most probably. But 10 days, most probably every day they go, what are we waiting for? They had never experienced this. It was something brand new. I mean, if we can tell you when you get filled with the Holy Spirit what will happen. You'll become alive. The book of the Word of God will become alive. The revelation of Jesus. See, the Holy Spirit only speaks about the Father and the Son. He doesn't talk about himself. So Jesus is the Word of God. So when you begin to read the Word, Jesus' Word to you, the Holy Spirit illuminates it. And it's like a brand new book. I read it every day. And it's like a brand new book. I never saw that before. Absolutely. I was praying this morning and I was thinking about tongues. And I was praying in tongues because that always puts me in touch with the Spirit of God and the spiritual realm. And that scripture came to me and I never even thought about it before. When Paul talks about it in 1 Corinthians 13, though I speak with tongues of men and of angels. So this heavenly language that we get, which is an expression or an outward sign of the infilling of the Spirit of God within us, he calls it the tongues of angels. So when I speak, I was thinking, well, maybe I've got a tongues of angels. When I first started speaking in tongues, I sounded like a little Chinese girl. But it has developed over time because we start off as a little baby language, but as we, and it's in the natural, we say mama, mama, dada, dada, and then we put sentences together and that's how it develops into a language. So I'm thinking, I wonder if mine is of angels. Because it's a heavenly language, it's a spiritual thing. And we don't understand it, we don't know what you're even talking about. But all I know is that suddenly, on the day of Pentecost, waiting there, what is it going to be like? Suddenly, a mighty rushing wind. You see, we don't see the wind, we just see the effect of the wind. But there was a sound. There was a sound of a mighty rushing wind. And then suddenly they saw. So they heard something. They saw something. All their faculties were engaged. They saw tongues of fire coming down as if on their cloven things on their head. And then they began to speak. How amazing, engaging every faculty of our human being to engage us with the power of the Holy Spirit. You see, it's not out there, oh, I'm in the power and then I'm back to normal. No, it's all in one. We are new creatures filled with the Spirit of God, and suddenly, and the next thing they felt an urge to go out. And so maybe those, and it says in the Bible, those tongues that they were given, they went out into all these, into the crowd where there were hundreds of people there, and everybody was amazed because what they were speaking in the language of the Syrians and all these, well, I can't even pronounce all those nationalities that were there, but they all understood what they were saying, amazed. So I have heard stories of people going into Russia and speaking in tongues. I couldn't speak Russian. They spoke in tongues, and then somebody came up and said, what you said was amazing. He goes, oh, what did I say? God is God, and he will do whatever he wants to do if we are willing to be used by him. And so that's what they went out. Cowardly old Peter, the one that denied him. I don't even know him. I never knew him. Cock crowing in the background. Peter didn't even want to be associated with Jesus. So isn't it amazing that he's the big mouth? That he gets up and he speaks the most amazing sermon. He says, this is that. This is the power of the Holy Spirit that comes upon him. This is that that Joel spoke about. This, it says that in the last days, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. This is what he was talking about. That was talking about Joel. See how the Spirit of God brought back the Word of God. Peter knew the Word. They were all steeped in the Word, but it was nothing to them until the Holy Spirit came upon him. And then he made the Word alive. And this cowardly one, not who had been afraid of the Jews, now stands up and says, you crucified him. And they all pricked to their hearts, it says. That's the conviction of the Spirit of God. They were religious bigots, to tell you the truth. They had crucified him. And all of a sudden they're going, "Oh my gosh, what shall we do?" And he said, "Repent of your sins and be baptized, and you will be filled with the Holy Ghost." Done deal. Package deal. I like package deals. They're always best at the sales. So that is what Peter did. So this Pentecost celebrates, this day celebrates the source of the power, the Spirit of God, this invisible charge of electricity that comes from God. And the Holy Spirit is the very resurrected life of Jesus Christ in spirit form in our lives. And so you, if you are not filled, you can get filled today. But you need to plug into the most powerful source of energy and power the world has ever seen. And somehow, sometimes we just feel so powerless and so dead, we need to be switched on again. So you have the ability, when you get the Spirit of God, you have the ability to dream the biggest dreams that you could ever imagine, beyond our imagination. He said, "I will give you more than you can ever ask or think." I would never have believed that I, most probably, was the spearhead of building this school in Kenya. That was not on my itinerary, but it was on God's. He arranged the meeting of this key man and circumstances and terrible things, tribal upheaval, women out in fields sitting under bits of plastic with their traumatised children because all their husbands have been macheted and killed and their houses burnt down. And he said, "I need a school for these little ones to do something with them." And from that, we just started to send money for the rent of the old building that they rented and feeding these children. And it has just evolved and evolved. How could, like, 12 pensioners build a complex of a school that has the whole region talking about? And we have no churches to support us. I go, "I don't know how." They say, "How did you do it?" I go, "I don't know." I really don't know. But it just, if they needed cement, we got the money for the cement. They needed the rocks, we got money for the rocks. We got for the roof. We waited for there, and then we get this and that. And gradually, and God breathed upon it. And I could tell you story. I won't, because I'm on a time schedule. I could tell you stories of miracles, of how a 40-foot container got to the Kenya into the school grounds without being opened, nothing stolen, and got there on a wing and a prayer and just flabbergasted. Even the shipping agents could not believe that container got there. Building supplies, school supplies, you know, clothes for the children, amazing. And you go, "God, you just breathed upon it." And the most amazing thing is timing is so perfect. We wanted to send that container in October, November, and we could not get that going. We missed the boats and, you know, it wasn't all ready and blah, blah, blah. Then we read on the news that there is in Mombasa, there's a strike, and all the boats that had left at the time we wanted it on, were all sitting out in the water, in the ocean, for about 6 weeks, being charged money out there, and our stuff is still here, and then the strike's over, all the backlog goes through, and then we get ours on and it just goes sailing through. Is that not the Spirit of God at work? Every detail. Oh, yay! Oh, yeah, love. I'm African inside. I'm just white on the outside, but I am really African, and I love that sound. Oh, I've gone back. So how do we do it? We do it in the power of the Holy Ghost, and it gives you exciting dreams that just come to pass before your eyes. And this school is affecting the whole region. It is, we've got you wouldn't call it an oval, but it's a ploughed, weeded field. And all these boys that were laying about in the town getting up to mischief asked George, "Could we come and play soccer on that oval?" Because we'd taken soccer balls over. He goes, "Yes, you can have it. You can come and train every night, but you've got to do disciple classes before you go." So they go, "Yeah, yeah, yeah, we'll just do disciple classes and we'll play soccer." So for weeks and weeks and weeks, now they have these three teams that They played like Manchester United to the death, I tell you. And all the town, who has never come as a community, all come out and watch these boys play. Two scouts have come from a very prestigious college and scouted these two boys because of their soccer prowess. Other boys who have opted out of school at grade 3 or grade 4 have asked, can you come back to the school and can we come back and finish our education? We have changed a community by the power of just being obedient to the nudges of the Spirit of God. I love him. I just love him. He's my best friend. I just get behind the wake. He goes before us, and you know how that boat goes and leaves that nice, you know, wide thing, and I just keep walking through, and I know some of you do too. It's the most exciting life. Life is boring without God. Very boring without him. So he will give us the power to live victoriously. And we have the ability to dream and to overcome all the pitfalls, everything that tries to take life away from us. So we have the power to live a life in God. Being filled with the Holy Spirit not only reminds us that we know we're flesh and blood only too well, but we know that the Spirit of God dwells within us. And they can't find him in us. They can, no autopsy could find this life that is within us, which is called the power of the Holy Spirit. It can't, it's invisible, but has an effect. It's like the wind, we see it, what it's done. It's like fire, it brings warmth. It's just a mystery of how it works. But the reality of his presence is seen in our lives. You know, Paul, it's the greatest gift of God to us. Jesus said, I'm going. In fact, someone better than me is coming. In fact, he's like me. In fact, he's same as me. The same comforter that I've comforted you in all your squabbles and all your troubles and all this. I'm going to send you another comforter, just like me. And he will teach you all things. He will bring to your remembrance the things that I have spoken. How did the Gospels ever get written? It was written in hindsight. How did they remember the exact words that Jesus said? They didn't start reading it till the Holy Spirit, writing it until the Holy Spirit came upon them. And he will do that with you. I often think, oh, I know that scripture. Oh, I wonder where it is. Oh, my gosh. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. That's the very one I was looking for. He even knows that the page is on the book. How amazing is he? So I just want to tell you, he is wonderful. And Paul, the weak one, you know, he said, when I'm weak, then I am strong. He knew the power of the Spirit of God in his life. In fact, Paul, the slayer of the brethren, had to go and lose his own natural sight to gain a spiritual insight. He was a scholar, but he needed the Spirit of God. So Ananias is given the task, go and tell that murderer that you know, he's to wait. And Ananias, he's saying, no, I'm not going there, God. You know, he's having an argument with him. He goes, lays hand on him, God has sent me to fill you with the Holy Spirit. And with that, scales fell off his eyes. Scales will fall off our eyes of who God is to you by the Spirit of God. So I love this. I love Paul's writings. I love this particular chapter. It's in 2 Corinthians 4:4. He says, for God who said, let there be light in the darkness, has made the light shine in our hearts so we could know the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. You see, in the light of the Spirit of God, we can see the glory. Jesus was the glory of the Father. So that's a statement. We said, let there be light. And when we were in darkness, that same shout from God came into us. Let there be light. And boom, we became alive and light came in out of our darkness. But then he goes on, we now have this light shining in our hearts, but ourselves are like fragile clay jars containing this great treasure. This makes it clear that our great power is from God and not from ourselves. The Holy Spirit within us is the greatest treasure God could give us. He is the treasure that is inside of us. So whatever we want to do, whatever we need to do, or wherever God takes us, it is by his Spirit that we have that power. And so Paul didn't have a life that was all plain sailing, because he tells you he's got this great power. We have this treasure within us. And then he says, we are afflicted in every way. Oh, hello. I thought I was, once I got on, you know, into God, I was just going to all plain sailing. Everything was just going to be wonderful. No, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not driven to despair. I am persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying in our body the death of Jesus Christ, so that the life of Jesus might be made visible in our bodies. Is the life of God visible in you? I went to an old people's home. I do a little chaplaincy meeting on once a month there, and a lady was sitting with one of the oldies, and she said, I'm a Christian. I said, I know. She goes, how did you know? I say, I can see it on your face, this shining face out there. You can pick them in shopping centres. You can pick them. Who's a Christian? I go, they're a Christian. There's something about it. There's a light. There's a light upon us. Is our little light shining? How's your little light shining in this world that's dark? And when the world gets darker, we're supposed to get brighter and brighter, because that's what happens with light. And so he was sent to empower us. So I'm going to just finish very quickly. We need to plug into the power of prayer. God is calling his people to pray like he's never done before. He's always wanted us to pray, but now there is a movement throughout the earth. How are we going to heal this land of ours, this beautiful land that we see just in chaos and disruption and activists and terrible things wanting to change God's laws? How will we heal our land? He says, if. The big if. If my people. We can't blame anyone else. It's him. My people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sin, and I will heal your land. Sometimes it's this land that needs healing. Sometimes there's the inside or even physical that we need healing if we pray. The apostles knew all about prayer. They, when the Sanhedrin called Peter and John and told, you know, they're going to, told them they weren't allowed to speak about Jesus anymore, and they're going to whip them and sent them away. But all the people thought they were wonderful because they were doing great miracles. And they said, who are you? Is it best to obey God or you? Or we're going to keep doing it? So it's in Acts, and I love Acts because it's just an exciting book. It says, and now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto your servant that with all boldness they may speak your word. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. You see, we generally resort to prayer when we're shaken, but they really prayed to be shaken. And so a few weeks ago there was a tremendous prayer meeting that, I don't know whether you know Angus Buchan. He's a South African farmer that God used mightily, and he called, it wasn't even advertised on TV, he gave a call for prayer because South Africa was in chaos. There was murder, there was corruption, there was all a manner of things. And 1.7 million people turned up in six farms. They got farms, and I think six or eight farmers gave their land. And they came by car, because there was nowhere else to go. Maybe a few helicopters came in. How do you get 1.7 million unless the Spirit of God draws them? Can you imagine the traffic jam? Oh my goodness. I was talking to a South African girl whose mother had been there, and she said, oh, my mum said it was the most amazing thing. She said she said it was just endless. You couldn't see where they finished. And they cried out for their land and asked God to forgive them. And she said, and he said, and the Holy Spirit's going to come. She said, it was just like Pentecost. This wind just went whoosh, and chairs tipped over everything. And then it stopped, back to normal. God's up to something if his people will pray. So that's the secret. We need to plug in to have a passionate heart for God, and we need the power of his love flowing through us. Paul says, though I speak with tongues of men and of angels, but if I haven't got love, then I'm just like a clanging cymbal or a sounding gong. I have nothing. That's the thing that we're going to be known by, our love one for another. When we have the love of God inside us, we're able to love those we don't like. We're able to overcome the grievances that we feel have been slighted against us. It's our heart of love. Because God so loved us, he gave his son. That's love. I don't think I could give any of my children, but God did. And so the Holy Spirit is often symbolised as oil. And oil was used in the lamp, in the tabernacle of Moses. There was a candlestick and the oil came in and it burnt continually. God wants us to burn continually with passion for him. People will do anything for a cause. They'll burn for a cause in the world. I mean, they give their lives sometimes for things that don't really matter. But we've got something to burn for. We've got something to burn for. We need to burn so that other people won't burn. And it takes oil to keep a fire burning. Prophets and kings were anointed with oil, and they generally had it out of a ram's horn, and they anointed them with oil. That means something had to die in order to get that container. Jesus Christ died to pour out the oil of his Holy Spirit upon us. There was a death took place. Spirit of God will make our face to shine. I hope my face is shining this morning. I'll get under the light. And it's just like when the parable of the Good Samaritan went out. When all the religious ones turned their back, the Good Samaritan, he wasn't even part of the fold. He was a stranger to the promises of God. He went out, bandaged up his wounds, pouring in the oil and the wine, put him up on his ass and took him to the inn to take care of him. There might be people around in your life that need your oil being poured into their wounds. To be those oil of encouragement, the oil of life-giving words, it's going to be okay, I'm praying for you. The oil that we can pour into the wounded ones. And also for healing. Don't you love it when James, it says, is anyone sick among you? Let them call the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil. Symboling of the Holy Spirit doing the work. In the name of the Lord and the prayer of faith will save the sick and the Lord will raise him up. End of story. I believe it. I go around praying for people all the time. And they come back and go, when you prayed, you know. And one lady said, I was blind in that eye years ago. And when you prayed, I could see now. I go, oh. See, I mean, I get excited about it, but I think that should be normal. I expect it. I want things to happen. And God wants things to happen. So we need the oil of the Spirit to keep our fires burning, and let our lamps not be found without oil. Because at the last day, I love Matthew 25, one of my favourite scriptures. It talks about the oil of the wise and the foolish virgins. That was the church. They all had oil. They were you and I. Bit of oil flowing in there, just keeping the little campfire burning. Smouldering. But it says at the midnight hour, I want to tell you, beloved of God, we are in the almost at the midnight hour. The world is reeling out of control. With you don't even have to watch the news anymore. It's just too horrific. Midnight hour is coming. Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Let's go out and meet him. And then all the church rose up, trimmed their lamps, took the little things off, they went smoking, and the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. How tragic, our lamps are going out right at the midnight hour. Right at the death, you might have been filled with oil for many, many years, and right at the midnight hour, suddenly your oil gauge has gone down and they're almost out. For our lamps are going out. But the wise answered and said, no, lest there not should be enough for you and us, but you go rather to those who sell and buy for yourself. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. You see, the issue was about oil. It was an oil issue. And just like all over the world, there's an oil issue. Amazing how it runs parallel, isn't it? At the end of the day, the end of the age, it's oil. So let us today say, God, my gauge is running low. Or maybe you're filled to overflowing. Let our oil of the Spirit of God come into our hearts yet again so that our lamps are full. And there'll be a fire burning within us for the kingdom of God. You see, it's not about church and it's not about denominations, but it's about the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is advancing, unseen, but it's moving continually. And I, for one, want to be part of what God's got for the end of the age. You see, the Holy Spirit is on a mission in your life. You tend to think that you are on a mission for God, but more importantly, God is on a mission in you. And so sometimes we need an oil change. When we have a car and it's gone all black and glucky and thick, you know, get rid of it old and get a brand new lot. And so I'm going to give you that opportunity that today, that if you want to be filled with oil. You see, the disciples became world changers because of the Holy Spirit. And that's what God's taught us to do. He said, out of your belly shall flow rivers. Not just a little trickle, not just a little swamp or a little pond. Rivers, like we've got a great river in Perth. I mean, that's a good analogy. The Swan River is magnificent. I want rivers flowing out as large as that. Life-giving flow that will come out of you. And it says, this he spoke of the Holy Spirit who had not yet come because Jesus had not yet been glorified. You see, the Holy Spirit's in the book everywhere. Once you see it, once you see him, you can't see anything else but. He is everywhere doing whatsoever he wants to do. And I, for one, am here to tell you he is here today. And if you need a touch, just a touch of the Spirit of God, he's here to meet with you and fill you to overflowing. Sometimes a bit scary to step into something new. But all I know is that his arms will wrap you around. You go, why did I ever not want this greatest gift? I don't want to stand before the Lord on the day that I go to glory and be found wanting. Edna, I could have given you all of this. Why didn't you take it? I don't know. I gave you the greatest gift. I don't believe it's for today. Oh, it's for today. It's for every day. We need him every day. And he'll bring you into a brand new way. You'll never be the same. Set on fire by the Spirit of God, because oil's going to come in and light and burn that fire within you. So can I just have a little music or something, Plum? So if anybody needs prayer for healing or want to be baptized in the Holy Ghost, you might as well get it prematurely, because if you don't get it now, you'll go to the conference and you get it. So, you know, it could be 2 weeks early. 2 weeks early. John Alley is an amazing speaker. Oh my gosh, I tell you, you are in for a treat, and I'm coming too. He is a teacher of the Word of God, and he is an apostle. And I tell you what, you can tell one when you meet one. A lot of people say, I'm an apostle. Well, they might be in their own books, but when you meet an apostle, there's an authority, there's a mantle, there's a father anointing, there's a building that is on their lives, and you're going to be blessed. Hallelujah. So let's sing whatever you like, Plum. Come, Holy Spirit.
Okay.
Beautiful. And I have this beautiful little drop of oil, so cute, that somebody bought from me from somewhere, Jerusalem or somewhere. Oh, yeah. Nice. So if you need a little drop of oil, you come. God is here to meet with you.